Come on and give God some praises in here. What a mighty God we serve. Truly the Lord is good all the time. And he keeps on blessing us. Giving our honor and glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To all of these preachers and officers. And to the entire congregation. We thank God for another opportunity of the living God's word. Father, we pray, God, that as I would get out of the way, Father, you would step in the way, Lord. As I decrease, you would increase. Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you, God. And I pray, God, that you would be seen, Father, and that you would touch us and move in a mighty way, Lord. Clean our hearts and our minds right now. That we may hear your word, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And we all say, amen. I want to go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And we want to look at verse 45 and 46. 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, verse 45, amen, and verse 6. I want us to read 45 and 46. 1 Samuel 17, chapter, verse 45 and 46. Let's read together. Then said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to talk on for a little bit of your time. Don't doubt your God. Don't doubt your God. God doesn't want us to doubt him. God has given us everything that we need to have total confidence and trust in his capability. It is not God that is not capable, but it is us ourselves refuse to use and understand our own capabilities in God. As we look at the text here, the text talks about in Samuel that how little David was a young man. We know that David had 8 brothers, and 3 of his oldest brothers went out to the battlefield. David's father, Jesse, said, David, I want you to go down to the battlefield and check on your brothers. Find out what's going on and how they're doing. The text tells me that Israel and the Philistines was at battle. The Bible declares that Israel were located on one side of the mountain and the Philistines on the other side. The Bible also says that in the middle of the valley, that was a battle going on. The text says here is that when they were fighting, Goliath, a giant, would rise up. And when this Goliath would come up, Israel would begin to run back. I want to look at here at Goliath. Goliath was their number one weapon. The Philistines would pull Goliath out in order to win the battle. The statement that was made that when Goliath would come up, he would say, "No reason for us to fight. Just send me somebody that can beat me. And if they beat me, then we will be your servants." Now, understand this, that when he says that we will be your servant, he also meant that you would have to worship our God. He said, "But if the one you would send to the battlefield would have the victory over me, then we would be your servant." But I want you to understand something now. The Philistines had other gods. Baal was their god. Their number one god was Dagon, who was better known as a fish god. They would serve this idol god that had no power. And the Philistines used Goliath the giant. Understand that this giant was 9 feet and 9 inches. He was a tall man, very muscular, very built. The text tells us that his helmet of brass was heavy that covered his head. The text also says that he was covered up with protection on his legs, and then his coat that was around him. In actuality, it says 5,000 shackles of brass what his coat was made of. Other words, it was 125 pounds. So if this giant 9 feet 9 inches was weighing all of this metal, this means that he was very strong. But here comes David, came to the battlefield, just short, but good looking. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that David came to the battlefield, and right there at the battlefield that David came, David heard what Goliath said to Israel. This bothered David, because David had faith and trust in God. And when David saw Goliath, it was amazing to see such a tall and strong man. But what bothered David's spirit is that David saw the army of God running from an idol god. That bothered David. David said, "Wait a minute, we got a problem here, because we belong to God. And Goliath might be a giant and it might be strong, but we have to understand that a giant can never beat the giant slayer." David here was on the battlefield, and David watched Goliath come in the valley. Watch him threatening the children of Israel. He watched him talk about their God. Watched him scare them and run them away. Can I tell you something? You have to be careful, because Goliath is dangerous. Goliath is a giant that will come in your life, but Goliath comes in different disguises.
Everybody have some type of Goliath trying to come at you. Right now, in this room, you're faced with a Goliath in your life. If Goliath could, Goliath would mess up your mind. Because when I look at the text tells me is that when Goliath came in and started talking about what he was going to do to them, he was messing with the mind of the children of Israel. And what happens, understand this thing, is that Goliath will come to try to ruin you. Come to try to enslave you. Goliath comes to mess your spirit up. In fact, sometimes Goliath come to church with you. Ah, help me somebody. Goliath can sit next to you in church. Goliath can be behind you in church. Sometimes when you go to work in the morning, you work with a Goliath. Goliath calls you on the phone and bothers you. Goliath will come in different types of forms and fashion. I tell you, Goliath only comes to try to harm you. But church, if I can only get you to understand, don't never doubt your God. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to look at verse 3, 4, and 5. When I look here at this text here, it reminds me of what David was going through when David went to the battlefield. And when David heard the threats that was coming from Goliath. And when David saw that the children of God was in fear. David understood some things that the children of Israel did not. When we look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Understand this thing here is that David wanted them to understand this one thing, is that, yes, we are in a fleshly body, but we serve a God. That we as children of God that is with us, we are not fighting against one another. Watch this thing. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." David had a strong weapon with him. When David went to the battlefield, David didn't go without his weapon. Church, you should never go anywhere without your weapon. But what happens is when Goliath comes up, it makes some of us become fearful. If you don't understand what I mean by that, when you lose your job, you can become fearful. Not understand that you still have a powerful weapon. Understand it here that your weapon will protect you when you lose your job. Your weapon will protect you when Goliath comes up to try to destroy your household. You have a strong weapon. He says here in this text here is that through God, a pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds in your life. Some of us are faced with strongholds now. Strongholds will keep you from coming to church. Strongholds will make you stay at home because your body don't feel like getting out of bed. A stronghold will make you turn against your own parents. A stronghold will make you turn against the church. Strongholds come to mess up your mind. Have you talking to yourself and ain't nobody talking to you. Stronghold. Stronghold will have your own nerve pills. A stronghold will destroy your marriage. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Strongholds will have you crying, not only in the midnight hour, but a stronghold will have you strong crying even in the daytime. Strongholds. Oh, that's why you got to have a weapon that will pull down strongholds. Some of us understand here that we're in a battle with Goliath. And Goliath is trying to mess our minds up and telling us that we can't make it. Goliath is trying to tell us you don't need to be in this marriage. Goliath is trying to tell us that our children can't turn around. I come today to tell you that I have a weapon that can pull down every stronghold that rise up against me. I got a weapon, church. You got a weapon that's with you that's better than any type of weapon anybody else have. You got some weapons with you. Watch this same verse 5. Here, 2 Corinthians 10 chapter say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I want you to understand this thing here, is that as a child of God, when you have the knowledge and the revelation of who God is, when you have that revelation that God will protect you, when you have that revelation that God will keep you, every time imaginations come up in your mind to try to tell you you can't, you ought to say, oh yes, I can. Not that I'm doing it on myself, but through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me that I can do all things through Jesus. Can I get a witness here? Yeah. Too many of us here right now need to understand is that God, the knowledge of God, watches and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God can fix things. God can make your mind better. God can make your enemies become your footstool. God knows how to fight any battle that you're faced with. In church, today we are faced with battles. You know there's a battle when pastors that a man's married to another man and yet they are pastors. You know we're in a battle when the church accepts it. Good God Almighty. You know we're in a battle when somebody pulls out a weapon and begins to shoot mothers on a parade. You know we're in a battle. We're in a battle when folk comes up missing by going out one place and never come home. You know we're in a battle today, church. You know we're in a battle that when you go to the doctor, you're thinking everything's going to be all right, but the doctor gives you a bad report, church. We in a battle. Goliath will rise up in cancer. Goliath will rise up in arthritis. But I got news for you. I got a weapon that will pull down strongholds. Help me, somebody. We in a battle today. Many folk are faced with this government furlough somewhere July the 8th or the 9th, telling us that you've got to take one day off. But I wish somebody could pull out their weapon and say, I use that day for rest. I use that day for extra vacation. I use that day to pray more. Can I tell you something? Because when you use your weapon, God will supply all your needs. When you use your weapon, baby, can I tell you something? You can't harm me by taking a few dollars. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Can I get a witness here? Can I tell you to stop worrying about what you don't have, what you might lose? Can I tell you what Job said? Though they slay me, yet will I trust them. Help me, somebody here. The text begins to tell me here that David went to the battlefield. When David went to the battlefield and heard what Goliath said, it bothered his spirit. David says he was so shocked. David looked around and said, how can you worry about this giant? He may be tall and he may have muscles. He may be a stronghold, but I know a God that can pull down a stronghold. David said, I go up against this battle. They said, David, David, you too short. You can't win against this giant. Because this giant here has been a warrior since he was a child. But then look what happened. Look what happened here. I want you to go here to Ephesians with me. Go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Go to Ephesians with me, the sixth chapter. We want to stay there for a little while. Ephesians 6 chapter verse 12. I want you to understand something. That David, when David was looking at this giant, David wasn't really looking at his outer appearance. David was looking at that he had physical strength. But David knew that he didn't have no spiritual strength. David said is that what we have to do is we have to learn that it's not about your outer appearance. It's about what you have on your inside. David said, what's wrong with us today is that we've become like the world. We're trying to exercise our outer appearance and our inner appearance is becoming low. When I look here at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, look what it says. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. David understands here is that the giant was of a wicked spirit. David knew that a wicked spirit could never have the victory over the Spirit of God. David knew that God had anointed him with the Spirit. Can I get a witness here? David knew that when you walk in the Spirit, that no weapon formed against you can prosper. David walked off to the battlefield and David said, I'll fight him all by myself. I don't need no help from Israel and I surely don't need no weak soldiers going in the battle with me. But David said, because God ordained me to stand up against the wiles of the devil. David said, because God put something in me. God has given me the victory already. David said, I ain't even worried about Goliath, baby. I'm worried about Israel. Because Israel is running from a giant. Watch this. Look at verse 10. Go up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Can I tell you something, church? Family, it's time for the church to get stronger in the Lord. It's time for the church now to begin to grow in the mightiness of God. The church should not be weak when we serve a strong God. Now, what gets me is that the church is losing its power because the church is walking away from the power of God. Help me, somebody. I want you to understand something, that that God is still there, but God won't appear unless you ask him to. You have everything you need, but you won't use it. Watch this thing here. When I look at the text here, David goes out to the battlefield. When David goes out to the battlefield and he sees Goliath, they send for David. Saul did send for David. And Saul said, David, you can't fight against him, for he is a warrior. After David convinced him that everything's going to be all right, Saul said, take my helmet, take my shield, take my sword. David placed everything on him, but David said, I can't do this. What is going on is that the church is trying to survive off of somebody else reading the Bible. The church is trying to survive off of somebody else praying. Can I tell you something? You need to use your own weapon that God has equipped you with. I thank God for folk praying for me. But it's something about my own weapon. I've got to pray for myself. I thank God that you went to Bible study and that you know some scriptures, but I need my own scriptures that I can pull out in times when I gotta go to battle. Can I get a witness here? You can't use somebody else's name all the time to get what you need. Sometimes you got to stand up on your own. I'm tired of when I need something done, I've got to pull out somebody else's name. It's time for you to be able to stand up for your own self in the name of Jesus. Yeah, some folk here say, I got a job because I use somebody else's name. But what if that person dies? What if that person turned their back on you? No, baby, you've got to have your own education. You've got to have your own weapon. You've got to have your own God. You have to have your own Savior. In other words, here, you got to get in the Word yourself. So that whenever you get ready to go into battle, you won't reach back and grab grandma's Bible. You can reach in your heart and pull out your own word that God has given to you. Can I get a witness here? Because what happened, Goliath comes. And when Goliath comes, Goliath will try to make you doubt who your God is. And if you don't know your God for yourself, you'll be messed up in your mind. But I come by today to tell you that David said, no, I can't use your helmet and I can't use your gear. I need my own gear. Yeah. David pulled out a sling. David had a bag with 5 rocks in it. I want you to see something in this thing here, is that David was a shepherd boy. David had a rod. And that rod that David had kept the sheep together. Understand that when Goliath was on the battlefield with David, Goliath had a 9-foot rod. The head of it, it was about 14.55 pounds. And he had a shield in front of him to go to battle against David. But what David wanted us to understand is that the 5 rocks that he had was protection of the wolves that would try to get the sheep. Watch this thing now. The rocks that David had, that rock was Jesus. David did not need to go to battle with any other weapon because the rod that he had was the rod that kept the sheets together. Watch this thing here. And the rocks he was slinging at the wolves from trying to destroy the sheets. Goliath was a wolf that came to battle to try to destroy the sheep that belong to the shepherd. Oh, y'all don't hear me, church. Even though Goliath was dressed up, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and spirits in high places. Can I talk to you for a little while? And so what David said is that you come fighting with me with all of the gear that you have. You come at me all dressed up, all fancied up, but I come in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness here? You can stand up against your giant in the name of Jesus. When I look at the text here, the Bible tells me is that when David got ready to fight against him. Somebody go to Psalms with me. Go to Psalms 91. That kept us on the battlefield. When we was on the battlefield, Psalms 91 was a keeper, church. And when I think about David here, getting ready to fight against Goliath, David took off of the armor of David. Of Saul and put his own spiritual armor on. Can I tell you something? That we are the sheep of God. And God is our shepherd. And God uses a rod to correct us. And he'll keep wolves out of our lives. So what happened here, when I look at Psalms 91, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God, it says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to know something, that if you in God, you in God's secret place. He said that you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Go to the next verse and say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. In other words, he says, my shelter and my protection is all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the Lord. He says that he's my shelter from any storm that comes in my life. He says that he's my fortress. In other words, he's a whole city and an army all by himself. Not only is God my protection, not only does he hide me under his shadow. Can I look at this thing? The Bible said in verse 3 that surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Other words here, that when the devil comes after you, and church, the devil will come after you. The devil will come after you in a form of Goliath to try to mess up everything about you. But I found out that the Lord will hide me in his secret place. He's like a bird that take care of his little bird. His arms around you and keep you and protect you. David here says that he's getting ready to go fight against Goliath. He said, but in the process of fighting against Goliath, Goliath is going to talk ugly to you. Goliath is going to try to scare you and make you nervous. But David says that as long as the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want anything. Now, David said, though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, I feel no evil, for the Lord is with me. He said, no matter what you're faced with, don't you doubt your God. I come by today to tell the church, there's a whole lot of Goliaths out there, but don't doubt your God. No matter what comes your way, your God is still able to provide for you. No matter what storms come at you, he's still a shelter in times like these. No matter how far you fall down in the valley, he still picks up lilies to let you know he's your lily in the valley. Can I tell you what that means? It means that when you're in the valley, I help you in the valley. When you're on the mountaintop, I help you on the mountaintop. He said, even though Goliath's coming and trying to destroy you, he said, you need to pull out the rock called Jesus. He said, if Jesus is on your side and you with the Lord, he'll fight your battles for you. You got folk up in here today that's in a battle but not using Jesus. Can I tell you something? Stop fighting with the wrong armor and put on the whole armor of the Lord. I don't have to talk like you talk, and I don't have to walk like you walk. All I have to do is put on my helmet of salvation. All I have to do is put on the shield of faith. Is it anybody in the Lord's house still believe the Lord would fight your battles? Can I tell you something? In the midnight hour, when bills are heavy, when folk turn their back against you. Don't doubt your God. Your God can and your God will. It may be rough sometimes, but I never doubt the Lord that I serve. I heard somebody say, I can't doubt him because I know too much about him. When you know the Lord will, can I tell you, you can hold your head up high. You don't have to work, and you can still survive, because God will make a way for you. When Goliath comes, try to mess your mind up. You ought to tell the devil, get behind you, that God is a wonderful God. Can I tell you something? Don't doubt God can pick you up. Don't doubt God will dry your tears. Don't doubt God will protect your family. Don't doubt the Lord will pay your bills off. Don't doubt God will see you out of your storms. Don't doubt God don't still love you. Though you slay me, I'm still gonna trust him. I know the Lord will. Is it anybody here? Know what David said? David threw a rock. He slung the rock, and the rock hit the giant. Can I tell you something? Normally when a force hits you, you fall backwards. But when the rock hit him, it first weakened him. I want you to know something, that the God you serve will first weaken your enemy. Can I get a witness here? God wants you to see your enemy get weak first. When your enemy get weak, they got to buckle at the knees. Can I tell you something? That at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow down. The Lord made the giants buckle down at the knee. And then the Bible says the rock started sinking in. When Jesus fights your battle, he'll take his time with it. Won't the Lord do it? When the rock started sinking in, the Bible said the giant fell down on his face. But just because it wasn't over yet, Israel needed to know that the giant was dead. So David stood on him and took his head off. Can I tell you something? God didn't leave him for no evidence, no doubt in his mind. God wants your enemies to know that he will provide. He'll make a way. He'll tear down strongholds. God wants you to know he's still on the throne. Is it anybody here? No, the Lord still sits high and he still looks low. Is it anybody know that the Lord is still hiding me? Is it anybody here know the Lord is still keeping me? I've got some folk may not like me, but I gotta love them anyhow, because I serve a God that takes care of me. Is it anybody here know that the Lord takes care of you? Is it anybody here know that the Lord is your provider? Ain't the Lord your keeper? Ain't the Lord your protector? In your hedge over here, is it anybody here know he's a shelter? David went to battle. And when David went to battle, when he cut his head off, God said, church, that's what I'll do for you. Don't put your doubt in God. Know that God will provide for you. He said, don't you doubt me. Don't you? I know the operation is coming, but don't you doubt me. I know you have some sickness in your body, but don't you doubt me. He said, I want you to have confidence in your doctor, but I want you to know who the real doctor is. I want you to have confidence in your certificate, but I want you to know who the real educator is. He said, I want you to have confidence that your bills will be paid, but I want you not to have confidence in the money. Have confidence in the one that provides the money for you. God says, don't you doubt me. He said, no matter what it looks like, keep your faith in Jesus. Can I tell you something, church? The only way we're going to make it, the only way we're going to survive, is that we must believe that God still can do it. I want you to know something, that when he died on Friday night, the only way he was dying, before he died, I want you to understand how they whipped him and how they beat him. The text tells me that they whipped him with many stripes. And when they whipped him with those stripes and razor blade ends, it was pulling off the flesh. And they wanted him to stay there, but he kept on rising up. And the reason why he rose up is because he said, when it's all over, I don't want you to doubt me. He said, I want you to know that I've been bruised and I've been wounded and I have a whole lot of stripes. He said, because of your sins, I'm going to go through it. He said, I don't want no doubt in your mind that sin can still send you to hell. So he hung on the cross. I'm about to go here now. When he hung on the cross, he looked up at his father and said, Father, it is done. He said, I've finished everything. He said, now all of the children in regular this morning can get saved, because in 3 days I'm going to get up out of the grave. Can I tell the church something? Is that the Lord got up on the third day, and I'm so glad that he did. It's because when he got up on the third day, when sadness tried to get me down, when I think about Jesus, somehow, some way, I still get a smile in my face. Can I tell you something? Ever since that day, ever since that hour, I've been holding on to God's unchanging hands. When the devil try to pull me one way, the Lord snatches me another way. Every now and then we buckle down and we forget who we are, but the Lord whispers in our ears and lets us know, you're still my baby. Can I tell you, we serve a good God. He's so good that when we fall, he picks us up. He's so good that he forgives us for all of our sins. Every time we mess up, he gives us a fresh start. Don't tell me we don't serve a wonderful God. We go in the hospital, but because of his grace and his mercy, he brings us out the hospital. Is it anybody here ever been sick, laying on the deathbed of affliction? Can you tell your neighbor that the Lord is still a good God? Can I tell you something? Not only is God good, but he's also kind. When I'm mean and ugly, he's still kind to me. Ain't the Lord's mercy all right? And is anybody here know the mercy of the Lord that you serve is all right? Mercy got you together. Mercy keeps you peaceful. Mercy watches over you. Ain't the Lord all right?
Don't doubt him.
Don't doubt him. Because God says that I'll fight your battle for you. He said, I know you're suffering with some things. I know it's hard for you. He said, but if I didn't think you can face it, I wouldn't allow you to go through. He said, everything that's going on, I know about it. He said, I'll deign it to happen. But don't doubt me. He said, because I'll come up in the middle of it. When you see me standing there, you'll know that because you didn't doubt me. I fixed it for you. Oh, we have some ups and downs. But don't doubt God. God is our refuge and our fortress. That's my shelter, church. Anybody got a shelter in the Lord? Can I tell you something? He's hiding you in his shelter. And he's allowed a few things to come at you. But he said, count it all joy. He said, because your faith is in him. Keep the faith, church. And everything will be all right. Come on, give God some praises. The doors of the church is open. There's one here that don't know God. This is your opportunity to come to him. There's somebody here that want to rededicate their life. Can you get up and just come back to the Lord? This is your opportunity. Will you come? God is telling you to listen. He says, I want you to get back in church. I want your family back in church.